Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the episode number 12 of the Pulse WV Live. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Connect Center in Putnam County, West Virginia. I'm John Fowler, along with my wife, Christy, John Sandy, and Tim Morris, along with Lindsay Prater, taking care of the board and got a little baby doll over there. So we're excited about what God's doing and how things are happening. And Lindsay's making some adjustments here finally on the microphones.
Live from the Connect Center.
Go ahead and click those top ones up there too, Lens. I think you'll have it. Tim, how you doing?
Not bad.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
I'm doing good.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing good.
Are you? Christy, how are you doing?
Doing well.
Well, we've got a lot to talk about tonight. We're glad that you're part of the...
I'm fired up.
Yes, sir.
I am fired up.
Lots are going... A lot of things that are going on. Lots of things are
As my dog
happening.
Would say...
Yeah, lots of things going on. And, hey, go over to our Facebook page, if you don't mind. Not our Facebook, but our YouTube page. And go ahead and subscribe to it. And we want to also tell you, we've got some great news that we are now, the Pulse WV Live is now on Google Play, Apple Podcast, and Spotify. So go over and subscribe to those free of charge. And you can have the podcast as well. So if you have the podcast, then you don't have to look at our face. So
which gets me into one of my topics tonight.
Well, you go right ahead and start off.
Well, you know, Biden just announced he won't be current, right?
Boy, you had to get rid of viewers right off the bat talking about Biden.
Yeah, out of focus. Biden announced that if he was president, he would make it mandatory that we wear masks for 3 straight months everywhere. Where the footnote to that is, if you're alone in your home, you still need to wear a mask. If you're having sex, please wear a mask. I'm just telling you what to say. Now, if you're ugly, it might be a good idea. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there about the mask because it's gone cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. It's just gone fruity nutty, you know.
Yeah, that won't work.
Well, let me ask you something. Are you now... Since he's picked a running mate, or does that help you to vote for him?
That really clinched it for me.
It did?
Okay, well, can I share something?
Go right ahead.
Please do. Get me out of this.
Concerns me about, and I heard this week, a Communist Party leader has endorsed Joe Biden. And
do you need any more folks?
Well, here's the thing. They're calling that a win. Since when communist nation or socialist nation? That concerns me.
Who's calling it a win? Anybody in particular?
I just read it in the article this week.
The Communist Party.
The Communist Party said
Russia's
it's
going, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's crazy.
That's how they would say that in English.
It's crazy. There's so many things that are going on in the world right now that, I mean, we're a whole mixed bag of ages in this group. And when you think about what's going on, and you know, our parents are in their 70s, late 70s, and they will tell you that what's going on in the world today, they would have never thought that it would have ever happened, you know, where we are today.
Well, what's really getting me is how fast and how the different people are jumping on the bandwagon. I am shocked at the number of people that are going, yeah, that sounds right. You know, when you got the NEA saying we don't want schools to open because we don't want police in the schools anymore. It's like, really, folks, do you have to have very much smarts at all to know right from wrong here? And don't even get me started on Christians. If you claim to be a Christian and you're going for this stuff, you need to hit the altar right now.
Yeah.
Well, it's getting ridiculous.
Everybody. I mean, what I'm finding is, you know, people they're not applying basic knowledge to anything. I mean, I had a discussion, you know, my daughter posted something last night, and there was a conversation about student loan debt. And some of her friends were talking about, you know, this student loan forgiveness, and that may sound good, but if the banks forgive the student loans, then where do they get the money to give the loan to the next person?
It's like Judge Judy says, no, it's not free.
No, it's not. But that's like you say, John, I think the issue is everybody's operating off of sound bites.
That's really good.
Sound bite, you know, that's the stuff that wins election. You can promise everything. And you don't have to worry about delivering it until you're into your terms, and that's a problem. That's one of the reasons I probably stand away from most of my Republican friends in the fact that I really don't agree with term limits because of it. Because with a term limit, if you know your second term, you can do crazy and get away with it. You'll do the crazy. You'll promise that stuff, mm-hmm. and you don't have to worry about.
Getting I see your point. I had never thought of it that way, but in the long run, is it like? It's like being stupid for 4 years or stupid for 27.
But the stupid part's not the politician. The stupid part is not the politician. The stupid part is the voter that puts them in there.
It's true. Right.
I mean, if we were paying attention, every second term governor or second term president. I mean, you hear people right now saying they're scared to death if Trump gets reelected, what he'll do because he don't have to worry about it. But it's that way with everybody. I wouldn't necessarily advocate for a no term limits on a president because that could be a little dangerous. But I guess my whole point is, like you said, they can say anything. They can say this stuff. People That's right. believe it, and mm-hmm. they think it's going to work, and it doesn't.
So it really does fall back on the voter. How stupid do you have to be to vote for certain things when it's going to destroy the country? I mean, we see it happening right before our eyes.
Yes.
They're demonstrating what's going to happen if they win right now.
Right.
And we're not
right.
going, this bothers me a little bit. Do you know people are just, they're leaving some of these states. You notice that? They're packing up and leaving. One family they talked to moved to Florida because, for example, one woman had her business destroyed. She rebuilt it. Now they've just done it a second time. Where's the law? Why are they allowed to stand there and stop a car in the middle of the highway with a gun and no one knows no police around?
John and I watched we like to watch Jonathan Shuttlesworth, who's an evangelist, and he's really, really good. And he does this program in the evening. It's called Check the News, and he just talks about positive things that are going on. There was a community that were ready for Antifa, and they had their guns. These were real men. And when Antifa came into their suburb, they said, not here. Take your whatever it is and go somewhere else. And we watched as they pushed Antifa out of the neighborhood, and they back down.
Cowards anyway.
Well, this is what we have to do.
Antifa.
We have to take a stand. It's where we're not taking a stand is where we're seeing all this rioting and unnecessary taking over streets and so forth.
Was that in Utah? Do you know if it was
where
in Utah?
Was that, John? I'm not sure.
Because that happened in Utah. About 3,000 people got together and said, no, you aren't. And they backed off. Antifa, they're cowards.
Well, it's going to happen everywhere shortly. I mean, you know, I have a friend of mine that lives about 4 miles up a holler here, and he said he's not worried about anything because everybody between him and the interstate has a gun. And, I mean, you know, some people aren't worried about
Can
it.
We say
here's the thing. The devil's a bully, and I think we have to recognize that behind this is it's spiritual and it's demonic, and he's a bully. But if you just resist him, like the Bible says, humble yourself before God, resist the devil, he will flee, he will back down.
That's awesome scripture. The one you guys sent us, you asked me a while ago if I had watched it yet. Who was that?
Jeremiah Johnson.
Yes, I caught the beginning. Do you remember what he said?
Yes.
He said to the devil, he said,
there is power.
Is this the best you got?
Well, I've got it right here. I transcribed it. He said there's power when people gather together in person. And that's why I think that the church is essential. It is so essential we gather together as a group of individuals and that we take a stand against this nonsense. But he said God is gathering together a remnant who will stand together on the front lines and declare the truth of who God is to a generation. And he said, I have seen over the last 10 days that the devil had the American church on the ropes, but something has shifted in this nation. Ecclesia is rising in America that is saying to the devil, is that all you got, devil? For the King of Glory shall have his way in this nation. Let's give God a shout of praise. And that's what I'm hoping is that the Christians will wake up, recognize that we are fighting a spiritual warfare. It's not against flesh and blood. It's against powers and principalities. And we have to take our place in this war. And instead of running from the battle, we need to run to the battle, just like David did, with four stones and a slingshot. And we need to take Goliath down.
What little I heard that you sent was so wonderful. I really want to hear the rest. John, this live thing I do now, the Connect group on Sunday mornings.
Yes.
It's going up. I'm getting more hits, and that's good. I'm going to be speaking on the essentials of praise. I mean, it's bigger than we think. Praise is much bigger because it speaks much more of not only who God is, but who we are because we do.
That's good.
So I'm going to be speaking on that if anybody wants to tune in that Sunday morning at the Pulse at 10 a.m.
10 a.m.
Yeah.
Bright and early. Yeah. You know, one thing, is this an encouraging statistic? You all tell me this. Roughly 7 in 10 white evangelical Protestants, 72%, say that they approve of the way Trump is handling his job, according to the Pew Research Center survey conducted June the 16th through the 22nd. It's a little bit of a drop, 6% drop of 78% in April. Is that good?
It's wonderful. The last report I heard was, as far as Republicans are concerned, he's still at 90 or 97%.
I approve. I think he's doing a good job.
Well, what do you
look what he's doing right now. I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. Let's talk a little bit later maybe about what he's been doing the last couple of days. I mean, this man's busy. He's not letting anything slow him down.
Well, I think from a political standpoint, the question has to be asked, what do you mean is it good? I mean, 72% is good, but it's 72% of 50%. You know what I'm saying? And that's my fear.
50%.
Yeah, it's 50% of 50%.
Debbie 50%.
Boss Hogg would say. But it's, you know.
You sound like Fauci.
Well, yeah.
Nothing exactly. Nice to say.
No, it worries me. Well, what gets the Republican Party in trouble is the pat on the back, we're doing great all the time, without realizing that we can't win an election without Democrat support.
Yes, true.
And that's part of the problem. You know, 72% of 50%, which I know you're joking, but that's pretty much what it is.
Right.
He's got the approval of 72% of half the people. What is his approval rating in the other 50%? And the problem with this.
And that's just in white people.
But you know, now. I had a very interesting conversation today, a long conversation with a gentleman, a friend of mine, happens to be a black gentleman that's a little bit younger than I am, but he basically was for Trump, very much so. And he has said, you know, he can't believe that the Democratic Party has really kind of his words were that every election cycle they use the African-American community as a pawn. But my fear with
I know that.
Yeah, you know, my fear with what you're saying though, John, is, and what Trump does that bothers me, and, you know, as I had told you before, some of the Republicans in my past that I've butted heads with, we're really good at singing to the choir and thinking that we're actually making headway, and that's a problem.
Well, it is. That's why I watch the statistics that come out about the black community and gentlemen like Terrell Owens.
Right, yeah.
That just flipped completely. I've never seen anybody flip so much in my life. I watched him. He was hard to watch on TV. Staunch Democratic lawyer, civil rights attorney, and that guy's completely flipped for Trump. He's changed parties. He's got a smile on his face, a countenance on him I've never seen, and he is just preaching it right now. So those little things like that encourage me.
And that's, you know, and that's one of the biggest problems in politics, John, is that nobody's willing. I mean, we've painted ourselves in a corner so bad to say I'm pro-Trump or I'm pro-Hillary or I'm pro-Biden that it takes a lot for a human being to switch and admit it. And you got a lot of people hanging on that are saying they have to admit that the economy's gotten better and all that, but they hated Trump so bad. You know, the guy today told me that he takes a lot of flack from people in his own family because he's a black man. That says under no circumstances would he vote for Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. He brought up the point that it's like the entire black community and the Democrats have forgotten that Joe Biden's crime bill in the 90s, you know, he said Bill Clinton and Joe Biden are responsible for a lot of black fathers in jail right now, yet all of a sudden they act like they're all for it. Mm-hmm. And so your statistic, I mean, it's good on one hand, but again, it takes 51% of everybody to win the election, not 72% of 50%.
I think what what I liked about Franklin Graham, when Trump was running for president back in 2016, he went to all 50 states and was just encouraging the Christians to get out and vote their conscience. And that's what it's going to take. I wish there was someone like Franklin Graham or as Christians that we could organize something in each state to just encourage Christians.
Take the pulse to each state.
Just get us the bus and go.
Well, listen,
and U-Haul. Pray. We really need to pray that Christians will rise up, because what I'm reading is a lot of Christians, they don't expect that they're going to move forward and vote this election. Whether that's true or not, I don't know.
You said that they won't.
It's indicating that Christians aren't going to go to the polls.
Well,
this year.
I can tell you, and I mean, it's amazing to me that we can waste the amount of time we do about politics and talk about winning politics and issues, mm-hmm. and then you have such a huge amount of people that don't go vote. This is where, I mean, it comes down to, on election day, the people that are most committed to doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was watching, you know, there's two things that I watch. I watch the president's, I watch his news press conference, and I watch the governor's. Those are two things that I don't miss very
often.
I'll
pray for you on both of them.
Yeah, but let me tell you one thing that the president I know. One thing that the president is bothered about is this mail-in voting.
Oh, I don't blame him.
Let me tell you, the other day he was saying that they did a test, and some of the results came back that they were mailing ballots to dogs. President Trump said this, and to people that were dead.
And if you have no way to verify that you're the one voting, you're up a creek. And that's one of the things the Democrats want in this bill that they're fighting over. He did the executive order to get some of this out to the people, and he's willing to do more because one of the holdups is the post office, right? Well, another thing they want is they want so many millions to help with this write-in balloting.
Right.
And Trump seems to be willing to do it. I'm not sure why.
Well, here's something that's real disconcerting for me, is other organizations are rallying for their support for their specific president. And this isn't really about the president. It's platforms. You know, where do we stand? Do we want a socialist? Are we going socialist? Or are we going to stay capitalist? And there is a White House siege from a group called Adbusters. And I just found out this the other day by your sister, Connie.
Yeah, shocking.
But what they're wanting to do is for the activists to storm the White House on September 17th and occupy that area through nonviolent protest till November 3rd, which is the election. And they're wanting to do this to make sure that Trump does not get reelected. This is disconcerting to me.
But it's also completely ridiculously ignorant if you think about it, and it shows
there's sharpshooters on the roof.
Well, I mean,
you know, it's like
it's the same exact reason that socialism doesn't work. They're going to stand and do nothing other than complain and expect something to change.
But how can you? Who has 50 days to stand there and?
But that's the point.
That's
the point.
People who aren't doing anything. People who don't have a job.
Okay, here's the formula for election. Here's the formula for an election victory. Minority plus ignorance equals a win. There's so much ignorance. When you talk to people in depth about why they do what they do, you just want to just spin your head off and pinch it. It's just like, really? Is this really the depth that we're at? That we don't even know. Have you seen them go out in the street and show a picture of famous people and ask them if they know who they are?
Yes.
And they have no clue.
No clue.
I mean, famous people in politics. Or they'll mention, did you know that Mussolini passed away? No. Yes, I heard. They'll say, yes, I heard that. Isn't that awful?
Yeah.
Well, where are we?
Back years ago, in one of the elections for Obama, we actually went to the mall and quizzed people on certain parts of the platform that they were for, but we switched it.
Yes, that's really good. I've seen
and
that.
That's was totally. Really,
yes,
we said everything Obama was against as though he was for it.
Yes, yes,
and they were all about it.
Yes, said yes. And I support Obama on that. And you're going, well, that was Trump.
I mean, and that happens.
We're
all
quoting
the time.
Trump, and what do they usually give you as an answer? Mostly shock, right?
Right.
And they don't know what to say.
Well,
Jay Leno used to do that.
That was the best part of Leno was how stupid. I mean, that's a shame. You know, you feel bad calling people ignorant, but the fact of the matter is there are ignorant people.
A lot.
And that's part of the reason.
Plumbing.
This whole thing with mail-in voting. I mean, it would be great if we had 100% participation in a vote. But I would also like to think that a majority of the people that vote have a clue what they're voting for. And almost everybody I say that to, they don't like that. When I say I don't want everybody to vote, you would think you were being satanic about it, but I don't want everybody to vote if they're going to vote simply off of the color of somebody's skin or the political party.
Well, you said it so well earlier. You said soundbite.
I mean, that's totally true. I mean, there's a huge majority of people that have no idea what anybody stands for. And even as a former party chair, it bothers me immensely to hear somebody say, I mean, and again, this would make a lot of my friends mad. I don't know how you can ever say you're just going to arbitrarily walk in and vote a straight ticket, even for a Republican, because there are some crazy Republicans out there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? So, but we got an entire huge bunch of people that just know that Republicans are bad or Democrats are good. And it's based off of falsehood because both parties have pros and cons. But that's concerning because
Tim, here's the thing.
Knows what they're voting for.
I don't know that ignorant is necessarily a bad word. It just means they don't
know.
It's
a definition. Right.
No, we're not saying they're stupid.
Right.
You're right.
They
You're
need
right.
to do the research. They're
just not – well, can I put lazy with ignorance? Because a lot of it is. They don't want to bother. They don't care.
But let's get back to socialism, because I don't think people are aware of what socialism means.
I don't either.
And I've been reading a book by Rodney Howard Brown that's Socialism Under the Microscope. And I just want to read an excerpt from this, because he said there's a quiet revolution that's been going on for years that's been met with enormous success trying to push the socialist agenda onto the Americans. And he said by 2020... tens of millions of Americans embraced socialism and sought to bring an end to the prevailing reign of the capitalists. A Gallup poll conducted in the summer of 2019 revealed that 43% of Americans believed that some form of socialism would be good for their country. This view was held by 57% of the respondents, ages 18 to 34, and among registered Democrats, the poll showed that a whopping 57% favored a socialist takeover of the American government. And he said there remained a problem with the American people's support of this new ideology. They remained blissfully ignorant of the meaning of socialism and the impact that the system of government would have over their lives.
And that's a lot of that is ignorance. Anytime you say something's free for a young person, you stick them in colleges where they'd be indoctrinated. Now they're working their way through the grade schools, indoctrinating them through this virus and stuff. So it is. I don't think they really understand.
Somebody has to pay for it. There is no free lunch. I mean,
But I've said this as a person, you know, having gone up through the business aspect of things. When we have gotten off track in what we've taught, even back when we were in school, I mean, when we were young, we were taught some really ignorant things in classes and not taught how to balance a checkbook or how, you know, I mean, if the people that were, you know, in their 30s right now, a lot of the people behind this push for communism, if they would have actually been taught some level of economic reality that stuff has to work, like the discussion we had, I think, a little bit ago about the student loan. Everybody thinks it's a great concept for student loan forgiveness, but nobody thinks to the next step. If you get forgiven of your student loan, that means somebody's stuck without their money. Now, the people that are stuck without their money would be the banks, and those are the same banks that they assume would loan money to the next generation of students. But we have people, like you said, Chris, it's not necessarily a bad word. Ignorant just means you don't know.
You don't know.
But we have too big of a voter base that just do not know how the world works. And that's our bad, because we allowed some nutcases to get on school boards and to create our curriculum. If a bank, John, you know, in a bank, if the bank forgave every car loan and then somebody comes in tomorrow and wants a car loan, what happens?
Well, let me tell you something. I know, I can't give you the name. But I know, you know, I spent 19 years in banking, and at one of the banks that I worked at, they were so concerned about this one fella that they forgave $100,000 of his loan because he had defaulted basically on doing the loan. If I threw out a bunch of names, the heads would roll. But so they forgave this guy of the $100,000 loan. So I'm in this meeting, you know, because they did that. And I said, whoa, And I said, why do you all want to do that? And the reason why is, well, because he's mouthy in the community and we're concerned about our reputation. That's exactly what the bank said. And I was furious.
Wow. That's
I was furious. I could throw out names right now, and I'm not going to, on who did that
no,
and why
ahead.
They did
go
it.
Ahead.
But
ahead.
Let me tell you something. It's like that one's always in my back pocket. That one's always
well,
there.
Well, you know, when you say Christy's exactly right.
But that's
right.
a truth. That's a truth what I'm telling you.
Christy's exactly right. Ignorance means you don't know, right?
I have the actual terms.
But there's no excuse for ignorance.
Well, here it is. Ignorance is a lack of knowledge and awareness. And then stupid is having or shown a great lack of intelligence or common sense. That's
and
what
we,
stupid
and the,
means.
And we don't kind want to
similar,
admit.
Aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
We don't want to admit that we actually have ignorant, stupid people. I mean, see, you're even laughing. You
sounds,
how, you're laughing.
Because I've heard you say that before.
I
they're
mean,
the ignorant,
they
stupid.
Are some
I'm
ignorant
offended
people.
By your laughter.
Exactly. But what? Why can't we say that if when a person stands and takes the moral high ground and says, well, the rich Republicans or the banks need to forgive the student loans of these poor people. Well, I promise you, if you took out a $100,000 student loan, that you signed a sheet of paper that said how much you were going to pay back.
Yeah.
It's not my fault you didn't do that.
Yeah.
You know, and let's just, in the perfect world, let's just forgive it. And then let's let your little sister show up and need a student loan. And guess what? The banks will say, hey, we're out of cash.
But can I tell you something?
Unbelievable.
I'd just like to tell you one thing. I'm going to tell you something that's true. I'm really am going to tell you with my hand up, as Wendy Bagwell used to say, I've got about $32,000 worth of student loan debt. And I have been praying and I have been asking God. I'll tell you, this is the truth. I have been asking God to help those loans to be paid off. Now, I really have. Now, I didn't say
paid off or forgiven.
Paid as off. Long as I don't have to pay it, I'm asking God to help me with it. And so
he's one of those liberals.
I smell Democrat in the room.
Yeah. Well, okay, let me ask you this.
I shouldn't have said that.
I was being
no, I'm not wanting the government to pay it. I'm wanting to pay it, but I'm asking God for the money to pay it. That's what I'm doing.
Well, I mean, and that's perfectly
that's
fine.
What I'm doing.
You can do
but,
that.
But let me tell you, to forgive me of that loan, it's just like that person that I just said at the bank. Oh, if I just I could make head spin. But you know, how is that fair? How is that fair to the other person that has a loan or has a business loan, but yet they forgave $100,000 of this
That's
guy's
my
loan?
Point.
And so I understand exactly what you're saying, but I am believing God for my student loans to be paid off, but I don't want the federal government to do it.
Look at our young people today. I am still amazed to this day when I go on Facebook to check things out and people want to be, you know, wants to friend me. So I check them out to see if I want to do it, right? Picture after picture after picture of themselves everywhere. Now, in my generation, that'd be embarrassing. In this generation, it's like all about me. They don't care, right? They don't care who's going to end up paying for their free bill. They just know they're getting it free. So they're just drinking this in from the Democrats because they want to pay for everything. They want the Green New Deal. There's no way to pay for it. They know that. And they want to revamp everything. And then they let the anarchists come in and they want to tear down everything, and they're letting them because it's feeding their narrative right now. But later on, that monster is going to eat them. They're going to get eaten. They've made it very clear they don't care if you're Democrat or Republican.
John,
made it very clear.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's it.
But John, when I managed the BB&T there at the Town Center Mall, mm-hmm. I loved working at the Town Center Mall.
Yes, it was wonderful visiting you there.
It was just awesome. I mean, I had a lot of people there to visit, but I had went over. And I think they've shut that down. You would probably know more about this.
Yes,
well,
am.
Not the the bank, but you remember that little place over by where the bus, where you got the bus, and it was kind of like a picnic area. What do they call that over
the
plaza? Danny shut it down.
They didn't shut it down. They put like spike strips.
Yeah, spike strips on the and you couldn't sit down there. Yeah. Okay. Right. So I'm over there sitting having lunch one day, and it was a beautiful day. I love to be outside, and I went down to the hot dog place. Down on the other end of town. I can't even remember the name of it. And so I'm sitting there eating, and I see this guy digging in the garbage.
All right.
And I'm just going to leave it at that. He's digging in the garbage, and I felt bad for him. And I said, and this was when Obama was president and giving away free cell phones to people that were poor.
And then he also the one that did the turning your car wrecks or something like that.
Cash for clunkers.
Yeah,
cash for clunkers.
That was good in concept, but it actually it was a good idea, but it dented the economy.
Yeah. Well, so this guy is digging into garbage, and I'm thinking, man, I'm just going to feed him. I'm going to give him one of my hot dogs, you know. And
you're wonderful.
Well, I felt bad because I wouldn't want to be that way. And so I get ready to go over to him, and he turns. And when he turns, he's talking on a cell phone.
As he goes through the garbage.
And I'm thinking, I ain't buying you a hot dog for nothing.
Well, I mean, and I have had a problem with it. Yeah. I've had a problem with it and been corrected. I do get it because the problem I had is that numerous people have gotten more than one, that there was no checks or balances. Apparently, that whole system was actually started under Bush, though. And
which Bush? George Senior?
Or the son?
Because what was supposed to happen with that program was for people that couldn't afford a phone, and I might be wrong on this, but I think I remember correctly. I think it started out of women that were in abusive relationships to be able to have a way of contact and help or something. It was something along those lines. So that whole program had a very noble cause to it, but then like every other thing the government gets involved with, here's $100 million, then we need $300 million, yeah, $400 million, and instead of just going to this cause, now it's this, and then it got blown up. So, but I understand what you're saying, and it's just like
they blew up their phones.
They blew it out, and it's if it's not monitored, and the government is, this is probably what makes me the Republican that I am more than anything. That government just gets too big. Every time they pass a bill to spend money, I promise you, two things are going to happen. It'll never go away, and it will only get bigger.
That's exactly right. And the quality gets less.
They check it less. It takes more money.
The red tape that builds in these programs.
Right. And then what happens, you get a lot of employees, and everybody, and there's government employees that may be watching this. I've known a lot of great people that got a job with state government or with the federal government, and they're like, yeah, this is going to be great. You know, you got good benefits, good pay. You got people with a lot of enthusiasm. They go to work for the government, and 2 or 3 years later, it's like, oh, holy cow. If I could just get through the day, nobody shows up. And I'm not going to say where it was. I remember one government employee had a huge map of the state of West Virginia on his wall. It was like five foot tall. Mm-hmm. He collared in every county and every street. That's what he would do all day, was collar this map on the wall, and got paid for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what was his job title?
I don't think anybody knew what he was supposed to be doing, honestly.
That'd be a great retirement job.
Yeah, could he keep
I'm in art, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Could he keep it in the lines?
Oh, yeah, looks great. I mean, that's all you have to do.
Stay in the lines, kids. Stay in the lines.
Hey, let's do some house cleaning things here. my dad and Nellie are watching out in Jackson County. And let's see here. We have Kathy and Brady are watching from the great state of Charleston. Pam Moore, your buddy, is watching. Gasway's watching.
Pam.
Yeah. Dwight Walls is watching. He's got a son-in-law now.
This is Debbie watching.
And I haven't seen Debbie out there yet.
Debbie.
One of the things that Dwight says, it's starting to be the American versus communism instead of the Republican versus the Democrats.
I've never seen a party jump so far to the left. And not only that, the thing that really gets me the most is how they're in our face about it.
Yes.
They're saying, look, we want socialism. We want to tear this thing down.
Yes.
We want to get rid of our history and start all over again. We want socialism. They're just in our face.
Yes.
Well, that's where the change, though. I think this is where we constantly miss the boat. The fringe of both parties have gone so far to the left and so far to the right that there are people that want to switch. But, you know, when Hillary called Republicans deplorables, that means she lost some potential voters.
Right.
You know, Trump can't talk about every Democrat being bad and think he'll get support. There are a lot of people fed up with the extreme of both left and right.
Well, let me ask you real quickly, because you make a good point. Now, she said half of theirs were the deplorables, right?
Yeah.
Of course, you don't know which half you're in.
Right.
So she might as well say
she offended everybody.
She got us all. But let me ask you a question about it. I realize we have fringe on both ends, but do we really have as big a fringe group on the Republican side? Because the Democrats have been taken over.
I think you
is
do.
There a is there a moderate Democrat anymore that speaks up? I haven't heard any for quite a while.
Oh, that'd be Joe Manchin.
He's
a moderate Democrat.
Honestly, yeah. You end up having, John, I know what you're saying, because you've got a lot. I think it's ironic because when you hear people talk all the time, the biggest bunch of noise you hear are from very liberal Democrats because they're very vocal. They want to scream and they march and they wear the hats and all that stuff.
Very vocal.
So that's a problem. However, the largest, the most successful talk person is Rush Limbaugh from the Republican Party. Yes. So I think there are fringe on both sides. It's just you don't have many 70-year-old Republicans willing to wear a hat that looks like a vagina and march downtown like you do a 30-year-old female. So it's that. This is why, you know.
I hadn't thought about that.
I mean, you've got people that just don't speak. And to Christie's point a little bit ago, this is all going to come down to how many people show up to vote.
It sure
does. And as I said last week, you've got people that will talk very concerned about what's going on that will not vote, people that aren't registered, people that will go to church and say, we need to pray for our country, but I'm not going to go vote.
But I'm not going to vote.
How in the world do they think this system works?
If the church was real and we would just simply vote, we could elect anybody we wanted.
I think we need to do a grassroots effort of just encouraging people to get out and vote.
Yeah, I do it from the pulpit because I really believe that however way people do vote, I think preachers should be able to say that.
You realize how many preachers are afraid to address it? Because the government can come down on you. But, you know, what you're saying,
it's time to fight.
We have to push back. And that's exactly what's going to happen.
Listen, Jeremiah Johnson, in this, you can find it on YouTube. It's his latest sermon, and it's called Blow the Trumpet, I believe. He said that he's here to declare to us, okay, we didn't start out too well in 2020, but August through December can be the best new beginning. He said something has tipped in this nation where we are up against the ropes. We've taken it from the devil, and the ecclesia, the church, has risen up in this hour. She's off the ropes. She's staring the virus in the face, and she's saying, is that all you got? He said he reads Daniel and Revelation. And those are the two books that give him so much encouragement. And he said, you know, Acts was the blueprint for the early church, but Revelation is the blueprint for us. And he said that he wants the ecclesia to win back the narrative in our nation. Not everything has to be negative. Not everything has to be depressing. There is a move of God going on in this nation, but the warfare is great. And he's here to encourage us, whether we're experiencing warfare in our marriage, in our family, in our work. The degree of the warfare that we are facing is an indicator of what God is about to do in our life and around us. Isn't that encouraging?
Yeah, that's awesome,
that's
preacher.
Very good. To coin a phrase and to paraphrase a comment by Tucker Carlson, he said, why should we be surprised by all the propaganda and the things that the Democrats are doing within the church? Because that is what they worship.
Well, let me go ahead and say hello to a few more people here and bring up another issue. Sandy Morris is watching today. That's your mama. That's
good. Hello, mama.
We love you. She's a sweetheart. She makes the best salmon cakes. I'm saying that.
I love salmon cakes. As long as you break the little buns. Does she break the buns up in it?
Yeah, and they crunch up. They're so good that.
Okay.
With mustard. She'd be able to leave the bones.
You tell her, make some for the next broadcast.
Yeah, make some of those, Sandy. I'll come and visit.
Lemon juice in it, because lemon juice is really good.
She always wants to shave my legs. You know, she always has for all these years.
That sounds like a Joe Biden joke.
Billy Harper is watching. Patty Mazzella is watching.
Sounds real interesting.
Connie, your mother, her mother.
My sister.
Your sister is watching.
Yeah, Connie.
Yeah, your sister is watching.
She's my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, one thing that I'm concerned about, and see what you all think about this. This is something else that I learned during one of the press conferences. Early voting begins before the first debate.
Well, they're figuring up to 8 million votes casting, at least 8 million votes casting before the very first debate. So they're trying. I hope they're really working hard at it. They're trying to get a fourth debate.
Well, who come up with that?
With what?
The early voting before the first debate?
I think the virus had a lot to do with it. because it just shut everything down. And, of course, no one knew if Biden was ever going to be able to stand and talk anyway. So
they don't really have anything to do with each other, but
the timing's off.
It is off, but
are you really that naive? Really?
Well, I mean, operationally they don't, but I do think there is a problem with it. And I had a discussion this week about the same thing, honestly, with just the way the votes roll in. You know, years ago, before you had 24-hour news coverage, the East Coast closes, and the vote on the East Coast can affect votes in the Western states because you get to a point and say, well, they've got it in the bag, they've got it in the bag, so it changes. And I feel that way even about early voting. I think if you vote too early, things can change, and you might change your mind. But it goes to the polarization of both parties. I don't think there's a lot of people. I don't honestly think there's a lot of people right now that don't have a clue who they're going to vote for. I think pretty much 93%, 94% of the people have made their mind up.
My dad predicts
very polarizing, isn't it?
My dad predicts that there'll be a Republican landslide. That's why, and I hope he's right.
I am on his side. I like your dad.
Now, Tim, you, I know you're probably a little concerned more than what I am about the vote. I mean, you think that
he worries a lot.
You think that Trump. I mean, do you think that there's a chance that he would not?
Absolutely, I think there's a chance.
I just don't think Biden can open a bag of Doritos to think that he can win as president. Because, he can't even make a speech.
But you're thinking that because we see what we see of him. But there's a whole huge bunch of people
that will say
the same thing about Trump. There's no way that imbecile can win. And honestly, my fear with this is, if you look at it, when Trump, this is what, like, I go back to what Christie said. If people don't show up to the polls, win an election, whoever gets the most votes, not by talking. Yeah, it's not who talks the loudest. It's who shows up.
It's not the majority of the people in the country. It's the majority of the people that vote. Yes.
It's the same thing that cost Bernie Sanders. You ask anybody that picked apart Bernie Sanders' campaign, everybody loved to say they supported Bernie Sanders, but the type of person that supported Bernie Sanders was too lazy to go vote.
Right. They were wanting things free.
Right. That's the same thing with Trump, though. You got a bunch of people that go to church that say, well, just pray about it. I'm not going to vote about it. If the people that keep saying pray about it don't go and vote for it, we lose.
Well, let's just break this down, just not to take up much time. The 16 election, you had Hillary and Trump. They had Hillary winning. Remember all the polls and all that. But Trump was going, I got these meetings with people, right. 25,000, and Hillary, they'd had to block off part of the college, the gymnasium. Remember that? And so it played out the way he was appearing. Well, recently Biden did a virtual town hall. They had around 200 and some tune in. Now, I know what the polls are saying, but do you think there's any possibility we're seeing a little bit of the same thing?
Oh, absolutely. That's true.
I don't believe the polls. I don't believe that poll.
And I'm going to tell you why you shouldn't believe the polls. As a former Republican Party chair
who used to get
people in the seats when we had, you're talking about the mall, we had the campaign headquarters at the mall, and part of our job was to get people there to call people, and you would pick the polling companies, would set up the polls. You ask the questions to get the answers that you want. Right. So whatever news channel, you know, if you've got a liberal news channel, they're going to show the polls that show the liberal candidate. I mean, it was the same thing on the Republican side. It's just you're hearing more of it. But what's going to happen is those very people the problem that I have with Trump's tactics, I believe in the platform, I just don't like his tactics.
Well, everyone says the same thing.
But they'll still vote for him.
They'll still vote for him because I can handle his mouth. Right now, the stocks are almost at 28,000 again.
Right,
almost at 29. Do you remember where it was before the virus?
Right, 29.
I'm telling you, folks, that's quite an achievement.
But you're taking into consideration. It is an achievement. And for the people.
You're a downer. Just a Debbie downer.
I'm telling you. You're saying that.
Just think, I've been friends with him since fourth grade.
I don't know how you stay positive, John.
It's an achievement. But 7 minutes ago, we
just
were talking about.
Just take some Zoloft. You'll be all right in the morning.
Listen. Good, I'm 7 sorry. Minutes ago, we were having a discussion about the definition of ignorant people.
Oh, plumber. Now I'm
ignorant. Now we're ignorant.
No, I'm feeling good about myself.
It's great news. What Trump has done is great, except we're getting to the point that people are voting with ignorance. Do you know how many of those people couldn't care less about a retirement account? You're talking about the same voters that think they should be forgiven of their student loans. Do you think they are worried about what's going to happen when they're 80 years old?
Right. You're right.
They're worried
about the
free phones and that
the free write-off.
Like,
so how do you counter that? How do you counter that, Mr. Politician?
I'll tell you exactly. Y'all got me started.
Well, that's the whole point.
My lighting.
Just make sure you talk in your microphone so people can hear you.
We're going to have to change the lighting to get the red out of my face.
It's working.
Yeah, no, he's peeking now.
What Trump should have done, and I don't know if anybody's listening or watching, and I'd be curious. I'm going to pull this back up. I'd like to know if anybody agrees with me. I was hoping that Trump would get off of the mentality of the
do you agree with him or not? Go ahead.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. When he got elected, he should have immediately tried to win people over. If he would have not name called and done the stupid stuff he's done, they would have absolutely nothing at all to say about it.
I know it. They'd find something right. But
I mean,
still, I know what you're saying.
Just yesterday, I mean, honestly, I hope he wins. But the reason I hope he wins is because we only get two choices.
I know.
I mean, I think he's an intelligent man, but. He was at a presidential press conference yesterday and called him Sleepy Joe.
I heard that.
That's childish.
I heard it.
There's nobody out there. I mean, and some people find
it
funny.
But it works for him, doesn't it?
It worked, but here's my fear.
What's that one person he calls Pocahontas? Who is that?
Oh, that was Warren.
Yes,
Elizabeth
he called Warren. Yeah, he called her that the other day.
Did you hear that when he announced his vice president? A presidential pick, you know,
right.
Kamala Harris, that Warren stepped forward and said, that's me, I'm ready to receive the nomination.
Oh, yeah, right. But let me ask both of you guys a question. You're intelligent, decent people.
If your child
went around and called somebody Sleepy Joe, called everybody nasty, would you not even spank that human being? But we actually have senior Christians in churches that laugh when the man does that. And what bothers me is it's hard for me to defend his financial decision making when he acts like that. And the problem I have with it is it does almost make the church look hypocritical.
I think I agree with you exactly what you're saying. The bottom line is I believe God will use all kinds of people in the Bible. You may not be perfect and this and that. And he said, but this is the one I'm going to use because he can handle it. And I think personally, I think Trump, with all this stuff that I totally agree with, I just cringe, right?
Right.
But what the man is doing, he supports Israel. I mean, it's down the line. He supports Christian values.
Right.
He supports the church. I'm going, okay, I don't like what he says, and it's hurting him. I really believe it's hurt him. You're exactly right. He's invited problems he doesn't have to have.
Right.
When he went after John McCain.
I mean, my personal feeling is with where the economy was going, he could have wrapped this election up months ago. Now, the coronavirus has put a dent in it, but even with the coronavirus, we're already coming back a little bit. The jobs numbers weren't as bad as what they thought they were going to be.
The unemployment numbers.
I mean, if he would stick to the platform that he got elected on, we'd be in great shape. When he won, he did not win, and you know every Democrat person throws this up in your face. He did not win the majority of votes.
Oh yeah, that's
he won
biggie.
By election. Now,
and they
want
to get rid of the Supreme Court voted 9-0.
Right, but see that was Hillary's bad. After 40 years in politics, not having enough sense to know how it worked, she lost the election. Truthfully, Trump really didn't win as much as she lost.
She didn't go to Wyoming.
No, she didn't hit a lot of states.
Hurt herself.
Right, but here's my fear, John. Honestly, we talk about the landslide and how he wasn't supposed to win, and I get where they're saying that. But when you break it down, he did not win by enough to be able to say I can lose 10% of the vote.
Right.
And what he's doing is the way he talks, you get everybody that supports him. He's not winning anybody new over. What he is doing is making the other people so mad that if we have 7 feet of snow on election day, they will crawl to get there. And then the Christians and the old people will say, no, it's too bad. God will take care of it. If God wants this to happen, it's going to happen.
But I will not be surprised if the black vote doesn't go up for him.
Oh, there'll be a lot of that.
I believe that's going to go up for him. But you're right. And I cringe, and I think you're saying a lot of good. That's hard for me to tell you that, but I'm going to tell you. I think you said a lot of good stuff. A
lot of love in the house. Hey, hey, Tim, you know Chris Holstein.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Chris Holstein. See, do you agree with this? Chris says that the church is as divided as anything else about this. Do you agree with that?
Politically?
Yeah, politically.
Yeah, because, again, in order for churches to survive, they've watered down the truth.
Wow.
I mean, and here's the other thing, and I was thinking with Christy was
that's
saying
a strong statement,
saying,
but you're right.
I mean, it's the truth.
You're exactly right.
You don't have, even in your very fundamental churches, we have relaxed so much.
I know.
We've lost people in our church because they wanted to go to church that could do this and could do that. So, yeah, Chris is right. The church is kind of divided, but when Christy was talking, one thing that keeps popping in my mind, and I know I've mentioned this to you guys before, because at the last election, I went to our pastor and said, you know what, I'm getting kind of tired of fighting for this politically, because the Bible says it will wax worse and worse. There is nowhere. You can't give up, but this is exactly what was going to happen.
Yeah, don't you agree that, and that scripture, of course, we all know is true, don't you agree that that's not to tell us to give up.
Right, absolutely.
I think that's a good point. Sometimes we look at the scripture and say, well, it said it's going to happen.
Right.
Well, if you're the church, he said, I'll heal your land. So he gives us positive with
it. And that goes back, you know, John, to the other thing that I see in a lot of churches. You talk about a church dying, you know, and Chris and I had these conversations before. There's too many people going to church that say, the church is dying, but as long as I like the music we sing and the preaching that's preaching, I don't, you know, if this can get me through my funeral, I'm good to go with it.
Yeah, there's,
and that's a problem.
You know, there's a lot of, and by the way, Debbie is watching now. She was watching. She said, I'm here. And where's she live at in Texas?
She lives in the desert area of Texas and no cows or anything, just dust and
just
dust bowls
and all that.
Yeah. She'd laugh at me because it's not really that way, but that's why I described it one time, so I'm sticking with it.
Kim Randolph Walker is watching. Hey, Kim, hope you're doing okay. Susie Johnson, hey, we love you guys. Hope you're doing great, and we love you all. And a lot of people watching in tonight, and it's raining outside, so we've got a good audience.
I ran in the rain.
So, in other words, the only people that watch are stuck.
Actually, let me go back and throw in a pitch here that I appreciate where we are broadcasting. We're broadcasting all over the world, and we're reaching people all over the world
on the banks of the beautiful out
there. Absolutely. And I'm telling you, this program is really reaching people, and it's reaching people of all ages, men and women. And we're very thankful that you are watching. Be sure to share the broadcast to your friends, and be sure to go on our podcast and subscribe to it, as well as the Pulse Gasaway, as well as the Pulse Winfield on YouTube.
And I feel it might be good, John, that maybe a little bit more to throw it in there, if you might add a little bit about how people that want to donate to keep this program going and help the church and stuff like that.
Yeah, Lindsay, can you put that on the screen?
Yeah, I think it'd be good to kind of emphasize that a little bit more to let people know.
We had to put a transponder.
An opportunity.
We had to put a transponder in the airplane today.
I just saw Chris Holstein's comment about making sure I behave.
Did you? That's the truth. Yeah. Well, John, that's so true. And let me tell you something. This ministry is good. It's good soil. And when you take Pastor Jay Mace and along with myself and the teams that we have and what God is doing, you know, we have a Christian school that's getting ready to open in both locations in Braxton County as well as Taze Valley. And we have some wonderful people that we're working with, and we're so thankful for that. We have daycares.
Because of you, I believe, and I told you this once, I believe that your church is one of those churches that's on the cutting edge of doing things and taking advantage of social media as an opportunity to reach the world.
Well,
literally,
it's amazing. It's wonderful. And Tim, you know, you said something that a little bit ago that's really a shame. It's really a shame, but I can tell you that I really am not this way. I'm probably, my preaching has probably changed more after the coronavirus. And I took some criticism in my home church, in my own church about that, because I'm like in your face with this stuff. And I'm preaching it from the, here's the neat advantage that I have that a lot of people, that a lot of people don't, is the Pulse is a corporation.
Right.
So, if they ever decide to want to come in and shut the Pulse Church down, they can't because it's
You're
a corporation.
Fire them.
A corporation. So I can hire everybody.
Fire the congregation.
I can hire everybody for a penny to come in and work for the church service. So, you know, there are a few things that you stumble across, but let me tell you, it's under a corporation, but it's a nonprofit, but yet we put every bit of money back into the ministries, and we are really excited. So if you want to put that on the screen, Lindsay, we'll go ahead and put
and
this
John,
out there.
Your preaching is getting better and better.
Well, I appreciate that.
11:15, the services start on Sunday mornings. If you want to tune in, it'd be great to have you with us, and let us know you're there. We'd love that because God's working, God's helping, and I believe that this is a church that. And it gets together with its parishioners 6 days a week at 8 p.m., and they are invited to join that conference call with us. We can put that information out.
You know, in the long lines of what you're saying, John, and I feel the same way with Chris Holstein. When I'm talking about the trick is that you got three churches, three ways of churches. The churches that don't want to change and do anything and die.
Yeah,
the churches that are changing, but they're changing to just attract money and numbers.
Yes,
right.
But then the churches that are kind of evolving with the understanding that it's the witness that's important, you know.
It is.
So that really, I think almost every church would fall into that.
Well, I think we need to inform. I really do. I think we should inform from the pulpit.
We shouldn't be ignorant.
No, we shouldn't be. And I think it's okay to. So I don't disagree with you at all. But I tell you what, there's three different ways you can give to this ministry if you'd like to, and we appreciate that. It's on the screen, the P.O. Box 141 Gasaway. Online, there's thepulsewv.com, or you can text your giving to the number that is on the screen. So we want to encourage you to do that, and we appreciate that if you would give to this ministry, God will richly bless you. We've got a video that we want to show, I found this morning. It showed up in my news feed, and it's and then I'm going to come back and ask everybody a question about this, and we want to get some viewer insight on it. Wendy Griffith, you remember her, Tim?
Yeah.
She's a real good friend of mine.
Wendy?
Yeah.
Really? Worked for Channel 8 News?
Yeah, well, I knew her. She came and interviewed me at the radio station at Praise 101, and we had a great time there, and she came and interviewed me.
I'm a radio announcer. Can't you tell from the way that I talk?
Yeah, how you doing?
It's called a puker.
W. You got to say W. You got to do it right. Okay, anyway, she came and interviewed me. We got to know each other, and she came to the Passion Play at Maranatha, and we got to talk. She had, I forget the name of the gentleman that did the weather back then when she was with them.
Jim Barrick, was it?
No, it was before him. Jim Barrick's a...
Tony Manoffi?
I used to teach his... Yes, that's it.
Tony Manoffi.
My goodness, you remember that.
Yeah, Tony's in Florida. Yeah, well, see, he's married to Ann Amon, who my sister went to school with, and wonderful people. And when we were in Florida, in Daytona, on our vacation a couple of years ago, last year, I watched his... And he messed up. And he said, instead of I-95, he said I-64. And he said, I don't know where that came
from. That's funny. I actually saw him when we were in Florida taking Kaylee down.
Really?
Saw him on the television.
Yeah.
Well
he still has black hair. It's amazing.
He came with Wendy Griffith to the Pash Place, so I got a chance to meet him. So I watch her on CBN, you know, and catch her on that. So, sorry.
Well, what's this story? And this story is alarming, but then I'm going to come back and ask you a question.
Is it? Well, can you turn that up? Yeah, so we can hear it. Factual. The video. There we go.
What is he doing?
Yeah, it's on.
How long?
And, so it's not a friendly place for Christians anyway. That's kind of like the Haight Ashbury district of San Francisco. It's where all the gay bars are or anything like that. But there was a protest going on at that time. And this guy was on a side street. It had nothing to do with the protests. But he was just walking up and down this pedestrian street and preaching. And the interesting thing is you heard that girl saying, please leave us alone. Please leave us alone. But they came from the protest and walked down that street to find that preacher and start harassing him. He had already been harassed quite a bit. You could see that his back was all wet. They had dumped a drink over him and things like that before I started filming. So they saw him in order to harass him.
Yeah, interesting. Well, you have been among the protesters, Chuck, in Portland and Seattle. Have you seen or heard them express anti-God or anti-Christian attitudes?
Oh, absolutely. I was told in Portland that Christianity is a white supremacist religion. Everything's racist. It's a racist religion, they said, which would have probably been news to our savior, who was Middle Eastern. So, I mean, it doesn't necessarily make sense, but these people are sort of beyond irony at this point. They say that they're there for justice, but they're really not there for justice. They say that they're there to defund the police, but in reality, they want to become the police, not get rid of the police. Yeah. They say they're there to take the knee off of George Floyd's neck, but in reality, they want control. They want to become the knee on George Floyd's neck, and that was made abundantly clear in the week that I spent down there.
Yeah. Well, that street preacher, he showed a lot of courage. He stayed pretty calm with those harassing people around him. Have you seen other Christians out preaching at the protests? And, you know, should they be out there doing that?
I talked to one Baptist pastor who had gone down there and had said, he said, you know, I didn't go down there to preach at him. I just went down there to listen and just try to...
So Wendy has a valid point. Should preachers and should other Christians be out protesting? Your thoughts?
Should they be out protesting?
Yeah, just like this this street preacher was doing, and just like Black Lives Matter is out protesting and out doing this thing. Should Christians be on the streets as well?
Well, again, I guess it depends on what your desired outcome is. And this is just my opinion. I mean, if what's the number one goal of a Christian?
Well, the word Christian means to be Christ-like, and it's to win. Well, it's to do the Great Commission,
right.
Which is Matthew 28, so, to to lead people to Jesus.
I don't think it's going to work for a Christian to be an antagonizer, but I do think you need to stand your ground. It goes back to the conversation you and I've had about people within the Republican Party and people within churches. You don't win people by pushing them away. You got to stand your ground. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And the problem is, but the polarization of this is not good. At least in my mind, if you had a group of Antifa or people that were hostile towards your Christian view, and you went down there, you may think you're doing the right thing by standing up to them, but you're not changing anything. right. you know that they're not going to listen to you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's a pat on, I mean, and God forgive me if I'm wrong, but it's a pat on the back that I've done something when you're not really interested about the results. And that's just, I mean, that's just how we think.
Well, if we would go down to, let's say we went over to Seattle and we got involved in this, you know it's going to get hostile.
Exactly.
It's going to get hostile. But then here again, let's take it back to the election, that if we don't do anything and just pray about it, how's it going to work?
But that's exactly. But that's my point, John. You've got people that want to argue and won't vote. What good would it do me to go to Seattle to convince those people anything when I've got people next door to me that need to hear the same thing?
Yeah.
Sometimes we get hung up in being so active that we, and I remember talking about this in numerous things. I think I've even heard you say something about it, even from the pulpit or something.
But you listen to me?
Every now and then, if Andy Griffith ain't
on. It's hearsay. It's all hearsay.
Yeah. But sometimes we get so hung up in wanting to be proud that we're doing something that we forget that we even are supposed to get results.
Yeah.
If I walked into a crowd that were hostile towards me, and if I'm not going to witness to them, and I know I can't convince them of my viewpoint.
And we both have done that. We've both been in hostile groups.
Now, let me tell you something. Now, that's totally different than you come at me. Yeah, I got you.
Right.
All right. But I'm not going to put myself into something that I know that's the outcome's going to be bad.
Yeah. Back in the 70s, there was a very popular speaker by the name of Ann Kimmel. I don't know if you remember her or not. Got a chance to meet her. Her whole ministry was talking about reaching her world.
Her world.
Her world. Her world. And so you need at least start there, don't you?
Well, you know, and John, and I have often said, I've said a lot of times along that very same line, when people say, if you ask me to pray for Lindsay, or you ask somebody to pray for Lindsay and Lindsay's not here, and I may ask you to pray for my daughter, the way prayer works is that people around that person have to follow what God wants them to do. Mm-hmm. So you're right. The doing something in my world is very appropriate. We get hung up too much on, oh, I'm just going to do this. This is going to be a great thing I'm going to do when it doesn't make any difference.
Right.
What I saw in that guy was it's a shame that they're doing that, but did he actually think that he would actually have a positive outcome out of that? I don't think so.
Right. Yeah, obviously not. And another thing that didn't have a and thank you all for your input on that, because I was wondering about that. John, what do you have what do you have about this sad story about this 5-year-old that was shot?
Yeah, the clip itself will tell you a lot. The only thing is the clip I got was from a different network because I couldn't find the one I wanted. And they left out one or two key points in there that I want to bring out after you play this, if it's all right. Do you have a name with that?
Yeah, Marcella.
The wife of a
Wilson.
CBS 17's Imani Page. Maybe. I don't know. It sounds familiar.
Why would I remember that? Good show, guys.
I think it's a little over 2 minutes, so it's not real long.
Facing an active warrant for first-degree murder, he was last seen driving a black 2019 Toyota Corolla with a North Carolina license plate number TC2773. The vehicle's front bumper is missing.
Okay. One thing I think they believe they left out was the point that he held the gun directly in his head and shot him in front of his siblings. That was left out, I think, of the report. And I don't know if that was on purpose or just not very well reported. But, again, one of the things that was not broadcast, you didn't hear much about this at all, and it reminded me of Bernal Ras Tremel, who, if you remember, was 59 years old, not a complete conservative, but a Trump supporter with signs. He had a business called Expressions Journal, and he would produce these signs, and he was sitting in his lounge chair in front of his business, and a man walked up and executed him. And this was a black man that supported Trump. Now, he still supported things like Black Lives Matters and things. So he wasn't just an all-Trumper, but he did support Trump, and that was all it took. So we had that story that was barely spoken about, and a black man executed, and now you have a little white boy executed by a black man. And I'm not making the point. My point is not that it was a black man each time in itself. My point is it's not reported. Now, one thing I really struggle with is my soapbox for a second, is I am so tired of hearing the Democrats talk about their big tent party. No way, Jose. Big fat Harry, no. They'll attack you. I don't care who you are. They will attack you and destroy you if you're black, if you're Latino, if you're white, if you're a woman, if you're LGBTQ, whatever you are. They will attack you and they will destroy you. So you want to talk about one of the most racist groups in our nation? It's the Democratic Party as they stand today. And they're not reporting these. Listen, we're past Floyd. Yeah. All right? We're way past Floyd on this whole thing. He is way in the background. There is nothing about Black Floyd much that's going on anymore now. And they'll destroy black people. You know, you had Chop in Seattle, and she said maybe it might be the Summer of Love, the mayor of Seattle.
Right, yeah.
Well, what happened? They started killing each other. Who got killed? Black people.
Right.
So they shut it down when they started protesting at her house.
Right.
You know. So this is not about Floyd anymore. This is about destroying of a democracy.
It honestly wasn't, unfortunately, about Floyd to begin with.
Yes, it was tragic.
You're talking about an election year with everything on the table at stake, and the general thought process is that if people are uneasy, they want change.
Right.
And this has been the summer. Now, granted, COVID throws it in there.
Oh, yeah.
But it's – if people are uncomfortable, they want to be comfortable, so they will change everything. So we keep mixing this up. As long as they can make it look like one side's against each other, there is racism. You cannot say there's not racism.
We will always have it.
I mean, you will, and that's a shame.
It's awful.
But what we have to focus on is there's more love, there's more good. There are multiple times over more good people than there are bad. But we only talk about the bad. And we've gotten into this back and forth. That goes back to what I said a minute ago. I wish Trump would have come out after the election and said, okay, guys, you're a Democrat, we're Republican, this is it, but we're all American. This is what we're going to do. I understand there's racism. And you cannot legislate morality. You cannot legislate away racism. But he should say, we're going to do as much as we can as a government to get rid of it. But here's the thing. If you need the change, you can't be positive. You cannot be positive about something if you want to change it. So that's going to drive the negative. We allow ourselves to become negative to battle the negative. And that's what everybody's
feeling.
That's
pretty profound.
I mean, that's what everybody's feeling right now. You cannot combat negative with negative, and we don't hang to the positive.
Yeah. Well, that church should fit right in there, shouldn't it?
It should fit.
If it was the church, because we want, you know, when I was preaching one day, I was talking about everywhere you go, you should leave honey.
Absolutely.
Yes. Whether you disagree
or not. Well, but, you know, back to your point, John, about whether that guy was right, should you go into the middle of these things and all that, there's a big difference between what that guy did on that video, putting himself in an antagonistic situation versus what you would have seen in the 60s and 70s when you had a street preacher standing in front of the library on Capitol Street. Just when people would walk back saying, do you know Jesus loves you? Here's a tract. You know what I'm saying?
Right. It's a little bit different.
It's totally different.
Yeah.
Because even that person doing that in the name of God is doing it almost out of anger.
Well, I'll tell you what.
That's what needs to change.
If that would have been me going to Seattle, I would have been going for a fight. I'd been going for the wrong reason.
Why else would you go?
Yeah, I mean, I would be going for the wrong reason. I'm being absolutely
honest.
Now,
unless God sticks you in the belly of a well for a while and say, now go to San Francisco.
Yeah, go to Nineveh.
But you know,
I don't want to go.
I mean, honestly.
Don't make me
go. But here's the thing, and along the lines of what you're saying.
I think there's a whole bunch of people on this planet that just assume they're thinking that God put them in the belly of a whale, but they've made it up in their mind that, oh, I've got to fight this battle. I've got to be big and bad. And God's like, no, you don't.
Right.
You don't need to be in the middle of that. Why would you go to Seattle to do something for God when the person next door to you doesn't even know you go to church?
Did you know that?
Which is bad. Which is really bad.
There in the early church, whenever they were dying and martyrs, and we know about the apostles and what happened to them.
See, you know why he knows so much about this? He was there. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, you did say we had a diverse group here, didn't you?
Yeah, Moses and John went to school.
He told me to tell you hi.
Did he?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And he told me why he wrote about how humble he was.
Oh, good. Yes, I always wanted to know that.
Moses talked by himself, and he said, Moses was humble.
Yeah.
John showed me that. Yeah. But no, they actually had to tell the Christians to stop martyring yourself.
Yeah.
They were making themselves so available that they had to step in and say,
Don't go looking for it. Hey, it's a good spot to call it quits for the evening.
Oh,
and if you guys are up for it, you got anything to talk about, Tim?
Just do good. Have your dogs and cats spayed and neutered.
Oh, brother.
But honestly.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Bob Barker.
How can they give again, John? Put that up on the screen.
How can they give again?
You need to do, though, honestly, I would like people to think about I mean, I've even tried to watch even on Facebook, not be so antagonistic. I mean, it's hard not to when they rub stuff in your face.
Yeah.
But do this. If you're going to be defensive about something or reactionary, then do something different and be proactive and positive. You know, we were kind of talking about earlier, everybody that's wanting Biden to win, they're doing it because they're saying, this is what I don't like about Trump. You don't hear many people say what they like about Biden.
That's good. That's
so
really good.
What we need to do is just be instead of talking negative about the other person, let's figure out how to talk about negative about ourselves and let that be contagious.
You mean positive?
Yeah. Did I say negative? Yeah let's be negative about each other.
I'll pull you back in.
I think right now the world needs, especially if you're trying to be a witness, I mean, honestly, that's something you got to worry about. If you catch more flies with honey.
Flies with honey.
And that applies. If we could have 15% more of that right now, people wouldn't feel as bad as they do. And yes, God will get his way, but he gives you free will. So make sure your free will follows what God wants, not what you're doing.
And again, as the old adage, what would Jesus do? We need to act like him, right?
Right, absolutely.
Well, you said a lot of good stuff, Tim.
John, let me ask you something. If somebody's watching today and they're unsaved, what would you tell them?
Oh, man, Jesus has the best for you. He wants the best. He already knows what your needs are. He knows where your hurts are, and he hurts more than you hurt, and he loves more than you love, and he just wants you to jump in his lap and let him take care of you because he loves you that much. Give him a chance.
Amen.
And what would you tell somebody that, how would you lead them to Jesus?
I tell them very similar to Franklin Graham, I guess. He did it so well in his commercials. Just say, Jesus, you know, the word says, if you believe on him, you shall be saved. Just acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, that as in the Apostle Creed, that he was died, buried, and resurrected on the third day for you and has gone to prepare a place just for you. If your name is Tom or Jerry or Betty, he's gone to prepare a place for each one of you right now, and he's wanting to provide for you, and you'll have no needs in the name of Jesus in his life. And just give yourself to him. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. I believe in you. I believe you died for me. You raised for me. And I believe you have a wonderful plan for my life. And I believe your word, your love letters. And I invite you into my heart. And I ask you, Jesus, to take control and use me, Father. Do something good with my life. May I be a blessing to others.
Amen.
And we got a wonderful new Christian in our church, don't we, John?
Yes.
Vince. He's just, God's helping him. Oh, my goodness. It's so wonderful.
Yeah, it's an awesome thing. And just to see how he's matured in the Lord, just on we do a prayer call to him at 8 o'clock every evening.
He's right there.
And he's always right there, and he's a young convert praying for his wife, you know, to get saved.
Witnessing
the
people with love. It's an absolutely wonderful thing.
Sharing Jesus with people. And I want to go back, and then we're going to end a song. I've asked Lindsay to pull up a song because you struck a nerve with me that we need to show people a little kindness. I've always been a Glenn Campbell fan.
Yes.
Glenn Campbell is phenomenal, and I hate it that he's gone because, being a musician, you know, I just appreciate his music ability. And so Lindsay's going to go out with a song, show a little kindness here in just a minute.
That's a
really good song. But I want to tell you before you go, and I couldn't be with a better bunch of people right here. And I love you guys and love my wife and Lindsay and Cynthia out there on baby duty.
Baby duty.
So we appreciate them. Christy, you shared a lot of great things tonight, and thank you for sharing.
She always does.
I just want to let you know that we love you and we care about you. This is the Pulse WV Live, the episode number 12 for Friday, August the 14th, and we encourage you to go over to our Facebook page, and also turn on the notifications if we're broadcasting live, because Monday through Friday I'm doing at least three podcasts as well as videos on the sermon that I preached. We go a little deeper with it.
It was wonderful too, John.
Well, Sunday. God's really helping. Mace is going to be on Wednesday with me, and I encourage you, John, to schedule one, and we'll get in here and we'll talk some more, because we do have the Connect Center here in Taze Valley, West Virginia, where we are. A couple other things, house cleaning things. Go over to YouTube and subscribe to our YouTube channel as well as the Pulse, Gasaway, and Winfield. And then also now we are the Pulse WV Live is on Apple Podcast as well as Google Play for those with the Android, and also on Spotify. So
donate if you can.
Cause. And the Lord will bless you, and the Lord will help you. And we want to thank everybody for watching. Be sure to share this broadcast, and we'll see you again next Friday at 7 o'clock for the Pulse WV Live. You got that song, Lens? Oh, she needs more time. She needs more. Boy,
you
it was
got a
real,
joke?
Huh? I got a joke. Well, yeah. One? Yeah, I'll tell you a joke. When Tim and I were in school, we had a friend of ours. Have you ever noticed that everybody has somebody in their family that may be just a little bit off? Yeah, just a little
our
bit
dog,
off.
You mean like our ignorant dog. Or stupid?
Ignorant, plum ignorant or stupid. So
our
anyway.
Dog, our dog.
So really.
He's special needs.
You said special needs. So anyway, what happened was Carlos and Sandy couldn't make the event. They couldn't make the event. It was parent teacher conference.
I have no idea where you're going.
Parent teacher conference.
I have no idea and so
what happened was Uncle Joe had to go down with Tim to the parent teacher conference.
Are you making this up? And I do not.
She said for me to stall. So anyway.
So you're just making something
so
up.
They
okay.
go. So
all
they
right,
go
so
in.
Joke.
It's a joke.
I was starting to sweat.
So they go in. And goes in to see Miss Thompson because it was English class. It was English class at Lincoln Junior High School where we went. So Uncle Joe went in and said, "So how is Tim doing in English?" So Miss Thompson looks at him and she said, "Well," she said, "he's doing okay." She said, "but he's having trouble with his dangling participle."
And Lindsay Ray.
And so, having trouble with his dangling participle. So, Miss Thompson said to Uncle Joe, he says, "Well," Uncle Joe said, "well, he can't help it." And she said, "Well, what?"
She says, "Not worth it."
She says, "What do you mean that?" She said, "What do you mean he can't help it?"
I'm so sorry.
She said, "What do you mean he can't help it?" Well,
I want to apologize.
What happened was, she said,
"Working, we all had to go through this together."
She said, "Well," and Uncle Joe said, "Well, Tim fell off his bike one time when he was about 3 years old, and he hurt his dangling participle. He's had trouble with it ever since, you know. It's on the bottom of his foot. Even now, he can't hardly walk."
Let's pray.
anyway, English
terms. I'm so sorry. I thought something.
Well, she told me to string it out.
I asked for something funny, John.
Well, that's why he limps a little bit.
I thought I was totally thinking I do not remember this at all.
Yeah, see, I've been there with them.
You and John Wright are the same. You have trouble. Hey, you got it? Okay, Lindsay's got this song.
If
we're
not,
gonna,
John's thank, just gonna sing it.
Yeah,
you got to
we'll
show
do
a little kindness.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm almost curious what other joke my dad has.
Oh, no, at this point. Well, they're downhill from there.
There's a lightning storm.
Well, I'm just glad. I'm just y'all pray for Tim.
Oh, look, Dwight said, "Hurry, Lindsay."
I'm trying, Dwight.
That's funny. It's an English term. Look it up.
It really is. Here we go.
That's funny.
That was awful.
No, that would be funny if it was a Ray Stevens version. Weird Al. I was like, oh my Lord. Of the narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded street.
I'm on a Facebook status about it. It's like, do you have any advice? Just too good. Get your dogs and pets.
That's hysterical. Yep. That was funny.
You've got to try a little kindness, a little kindness, take on your light for everyone to see. Oh, she killed it. You didn't kill in the middle of a song, did you? Just think of all those people. That's what Kaylee does that to me in the car. Be singing a song and then cut like 30 seconds before it's over. You got... Oh, I just had your charger the whole time, John.